Bible, if you will, to John chapter 6, St. John chapter number 6, as we look at a thought that God had laid on our heart, and we see many coming and going. We see many lives not sure of what they're doing. But one thing is for certain, you're either staying close to the Master or you're leaving Him. Amen. You're either desiring to draw closer or your desire is to draw farther away. We want to preach on that thought this morning. If you found John chapter 6, if you're able, we'd invite you to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. Give you a moment to stretch your legs. We'll begin reading in verse number 60 here this morning. The Bible says, "Many therefore of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?' When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, 'Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto Me except it were given unto him of My Father. From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. And we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray Him, being one of the 12 brothers. Are you coming or are you staying? Are you coming or are you going? Staying or leaving? What are you going to do? That's what Jesus wants to know. That's the question that He poses to each one of us. And that's the question that He had to pose here, because so many were leaving. We live in a time when we see a falling away in churches. It's not any particular church. Everywhere you go, you talk to pastors and you hear the same thing, that the numbers are falling off and people just aren't faithful. And you might have a big Sunday morning crowd, but it's hard to get a Sunday night crowd or a Wednesday night crowd. And people just don't care. People have got to the place where nothing is as important as what's important to them. And the only thing that's important to them is what satisfies the flesh. And if you don't go to a church where you're entertained, we don't want to stay. If you don't go to a church where they don't do things the way that you think they should be done, we don't want to stay. We don't want to no longer heed what does say the Word of God. Jesus had run into that problem in His ministry. And we're going to run into that problem today, because we get our mind and our focus on the wrong thing. We get wrapped up in the things of the flesh instead of the things of the Spirit. And Jesus tells us here in verse number 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You know, it's hard to stay when you're not hearing what you want to hear. It's hard to stay when the preacher isn't giving you the accolades that you want, and you're not told how good you are and how worthy you are and how deserving you are for anything. It's hard to stay because you're wanting to satisfy the flesh when Jesus is wanting to speak and His Word is wanting to minister to our spirits. I'm going to tell you something. God's Word cuts me to the quick. Amen. It needs to, because He's not done with me yet. Amen. He saved me. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a solid rock. But praise God, He didn't get done with me there. The Bible says that He wants to establish my coming and my going. Amen. He wants to get me settled. He wants to get me made in the image that He wants me to be, that the whole world might be able to see Him and me. And I know right now you can't see much, but if you keep watching and you keep looking, by the grace of God and by and through His power, one day you'll see more of Him and me. I hope that tomorrow you see more of Him and me than you see today. I hope the next day that you see a little bit more. But you know what it's going to take to do that? It's going to take His word. Amen. Amen. A lot of people don't want to stay because the word offends them. Amen. I tell my folks here all the time just exactly who I am. I remind them, and they're no better, and you're no better than I am. I'm a no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, low down, rotten sinner that deserves to be in hell with my back broke, but I've been saved by the grace of God. The only thing that separates me from the sinners that are in the world, to the drug addict with the needle stuck in his arm, to the pedophile, to the murderer, to the adulterer, or anyone else, the only thing that separates me from them is the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. And I know who I am, and I know what I need, and I know I need the word working in my heart and working in my life and helping me to see more of what I need to be. These folks, they weren't worried about what Jesus was teaching them. They weren't worried about what the word that He was feeding them with. They wanted to satisfy the bellies. Back in verse number 26, and Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but you did eat of the loaves and were filled." They weren't looking to take care of the spiritual needs. They were wanting the physical man taken care of. They weren't worried about what was going on on the inside. They wanted the outside taken care of. They didn't want to deal with the spiritual matters. They wanted to deal with the physical things. They've seen all these miracles and all these great things that Jesus had already done. They'd heard the prophecies of what the Messiah was going to be and what He would do. And Jesus was fulfilling these prophecies. They heard John as he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I'm not worthy to unlatch His shoes, and I'm not even worthy for Him let me baptize Him. He needs to baptize me." And Jesus said, "No, we need to do it this way." They'd heard this. If they had any of them been there where John was baptizing, when Jesus came up out of the water, they had to have heard the affirmation from heaven, as God said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased," and the Spirit descended from heaven upon Him. Oh, there was just so much that had already spoke to and already had testified of Jesus. And Jesus said, "You're not even paying attention to what's going on. You're not even listening." You know, sometimes we need to listen with our eyes. Amen. As well as listen with our ears. But most importantly, we need to listen with our heart. Amen. They were missing what was happening right before their eyes. We live in a world where people are missing what God's doing. You know, God's still saving drug addicts. God's still saving pedophiles. God's still saving murderers. God's still changing lives all around us. People say, "Well, I want to see a miracle. I want to see a miracle." They all come just like the Pharisees. "Man, we've seen all these things you've done." Now, they've done seen all these miracles. And they say, "Well, we would believe it if we just seen a miracle." Well, how many miracles is it going to take? Amen. How many times is He going to have to move and do something for you to understand and know that He is the Son of God, the Christ, the one who's promised? He is the one who is the Savior of the world. He's the one that's going to change your heart and change your life. He's the one that can make a difference and no other. People were hearing, but they're missing what's being done. And you go back and look in the miracle, just in the book of John. You have the testimony of John and the testimony of God from heaven. You have the miracle of the changing of the water into wine. You have the nobleman's son that's a paralytic that's healed. You have the account of the man by the pool of Bethesda that is healed. Just up to this point. This is just in what John records. And the other Gospels record even more miracles that Jesus has done before this time. He healed the withered hand on the Sabbath and the other things that he'd done. There's all kinds of miracles that are attesting to the fact that he's doing something that's supernatural. If it's supernatural, it can't be a physical act. It has to be a spiritual act. But yet, they're worried about the bread. They're worried about when they're going to get, you know, they must have been Baptists. Amen. AME Baptists. Amen. Anybody, some of the folks know what AME Baptists are. I was doing a funeral up at Crouch's one day and Bob wasn't going to be there and had another fella that was filling in for him. I walked in, he looked at me and said, "You have to be Pastor Gilbert." I said, "Yeah, that's me. Did Bob tell you to look for a big, ugly fella walking in here?" He said, "No, he described you pretty good." He said, "He told me you pastored at AME Baptist Church." I said, "AME?" I said, "I ain't never heard of AME Baptist." I said, "We're a missionary Baptist church." He said, "No, Bob says you're AME Baptist Church." I said, "No, he knows." I said, "He knows better than that. We're a missionary Baptist church." He said, "That ain't what I heard." He said, "I heard you're AME, always meeting and eating." I said, "Well, maybe you got that right." Amen. Maybe you got that right. But you know, these folks, they weren't worried about the lives that were being changed. That they weren't worried about the broken bodies that were being healed and the spirits that were being uplifted and the things that Jesus was done in the spiritual realm. They were worried about what was happening in the physical realm. They wanted to take care of their bellies. It's hard to stay when you're not satisfied on the word. Amen? When you're not satisfied with the bread that Jesus has given you. He tells a man, he said, you can't dwell on these things of the flesh. He said, they're going to perish. He said, but man, you need me. He said, I'm the bread of life. He said, I'm the water that's going to quench your thirst. He said, you're going to eat my body and drink my blood to be satisfied. What he was telling them, unless I'm more important than anything else, unless I become what you desire and what you're looking for, unless I become what you're seeking after, you're never going to be satisfied. Amen. And that's just where they were. That's just where a lot of folks are in Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church today. I didn't get nothing out of that service. Why? The word was preached. Amen. I didn't get nothing out of that service. Why? The Spirit of God was here. Amen. If he didn't come with you, I know he come with me. Amen. I don't get here and wait for him to show up. Amen. 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 I bring him with me. Yes. Amen. But I like it when he shows up in a special way like he did last Saturday night. Amen. We like to shout at the house down in here. Amen. I thought we was going to have to cage Brother Brad for a few minutes. And I thought he was going to take off here for a minute. Praise God. I like it when he shows up in a very, very special way. But praise God, I don't have to depend on somebody else to bring the Spirit of God. Amen. He's with me when I come. Yes. Amen. But I come seeking more of what he's got. More of what he wants. Jesus said, here's why people get offended. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives the parable of the sower. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed. By the way, he told about the sower that went out and he sowed the seed. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell in the thorns. Some fell on the thorny ground. Some fell on the good ground. And his disciples said, we don't understand what you're trying to tell us. He said, here it is. Here it is. He said, the seed fell everywhere. He said, when some hear the word and they understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. It didn't get too far. It didn't get past the head into the heart. And the devil come and snatched it away. Why do you reckon that is? Why do you suppose that happens? Maybe because they come and the mind's way out there. They're not fully paying attention. They're not fully grasping what the Lord is sowing, what the Lord is giving, what the Word is saying. So it don't take long for it to go. The devil done snatched it away. But he that received the seed into the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. There's a lot of folks that come in our churches. They get all excited for a little bit. I've had folks come in when I used to preach a little harder than I do now, because every time I start preaching hard, I start coughing. I can't preach like that. But people used to come in and say, man, did you hear it? They say, man, we ain't never heard him preaching like that. We ain't never heard preaching like say anybody preach that way. Man, you preach with everything you got. You preach it all out. And they got all wrapped up in how I was preaching instead of what I was preaching. Amen. They got all wrapped up in what they were hearing, but they wasn't letting it sink in and make root. I've heard people talk about going and seeing certain evangelists, and man, you ought to see him. Man, he was climbing, jumped all over the pulpit and was running up and down the pews, and he was doing this and he was doing that. I said, what did he preach? I don't know, but you should have been there. He was a running man. He was a nice, but what did he preach about? I don't know. You know, they got all wrapped up. They heard it, but they didn't let it sink in. It didn't take root. They got wrapped up in what was going on instead of what was being sown. And we have a lot of people like that today, and they get offended. When they begin to really listen to the word, they get under some regular, man, last Saturday night, we shouting the house down. Amen? Now today we're back to regular service. Amen? Last Saturday night was exciting. Amen? Amen? I mean, last Saturday night was through the roof. Yes. Last Sunday, I didn't have any voice left. Amen. Last Saturday night was awesome. Amen. But praise God, so's this Sunday morning. Yes. Amen. Amen. It's not all about the hype and the jumping around and everything else. But it's about God's word speaking to our heart. Amen. God's word bringing us into reality. God's word helping us to see us. You know, God's word's a mirror. We always want to use it as a light that's shining to someone else. But God's word is a mirror for our hearts and our lives, for us to measure ourselves by. And he says, by and by, they get offended by the word. You know why they get offended by the word? Because the word never took root. Amen. Man, I tell you what. In my Christian walk, in my Christian life, there's some times when God has to come and he has to prune some things away. In John chapter 15, he's the husbandman. He's the pruner. He's the one that does the things that are hard. And sometimes he's got to cut some things away. Take some things away. To make me what he wants me to be. Some things that are going to hinder. And you know, when he takes things away, sometimes it hurts. Yes. But when I'm rooted and grounded in him, I understand why he's taking it away. Amen. Amen. I understand why the preacher preaches about standards, why the preacher preaches about separation, why the preacher preaches about the things. This isn't an entertainment center. This is a church. Amen. This isn't for your entertainment. This is for your edification. This is to help you to grow and help you to build upon what Christ has already done in your heart and your life. Folks want to be entertained. Maybe we're not the greatest singers. I've got some good singers here. I know I tell everybody, my wife sings, I make a joyful noise. And that's about the extent of it. Amen. And that's about as far as it goes. I could pluck a guitar a little bit, but I play great guitars, but I'm not a great guitar player. Amen. I don't have no bones about telling anybody that whatsoever. But praise God, I love to sing and I love to tell about Jesus. I might not do it the best that there is, but my heart's in it. I believe it. Amen. I don't sing what I don't believe, but I believe what I do sing. Amen. Because it's uplifting and glorifying Him. Maybe we don't have the best singing. Maybe we don't have the best musicians. Maybe we don't have what you find everywhere else. Man, you've seen them big churches and they got the big whole orchestras up there and everywhere. One is just a knocked down musician. I mean, they're the best that they're the best. They could probably get a job as a professional musician somewhere. Most of them are paid in a lot of big churches. If you don't know that, most of them are paid to be there. That's why they're there. It's a show. It's a program. But let me tell you this. That's not what we're here for. We're not here to uplift ourselves. We're up here to uplift Jesus. Maybe our singing isn't the greatest, but it'll tell you about Jesus. Maybe our singing and playing isn't the greatest, but it'll point you to Jesus. He's all I need, man. I sing that song all the time. When I'm by myself, I sing that song, Kit, because He's all I need. Amen. Sometimes I'm out in the barn there by myself, and I just rear back and let her rip. He's all I need. Amen. In times when folks are going through difficulties, I will sing to folks in the hospital. I'll sing to folks at the deathbed. I'll sing to folks where it can bring comfort to their heart and to their life. I'm not ashamed to share Jesus in song. But praise God, I know in singing, it might not do much for anybody else, but it does a whole lot for me in helping me to get ready and helping me get my heart and mind satisfied and pointed and looking to Jesus so that He can do the work that He wants to do. If the Word of God is offending you, it's going to be hard to stay. But if the Word of God is offending you, you need to let it take some root in your heart and your life. Amen. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Why? Because the world means more than the word. Mm-hmm. Amen. Jesus says you got to give up some things. Brother Brother Loki that was here. Can't think of it. Anyway, he had a lady in his church got saved. Her husband owned an adult bookstore. Do you all remember that? He preached for revival. He's an old fella. He was up in his, he's close to 80 when he come here to preach that. But he was preaching in. This lady, she got saved and she'd come in this church for a couple years and her husband owned an adult bookstore. And finally she got him to come to a revival meeting. And he came and he got saved. Amen. Amen. He took the dear pastor and showed him what filth he had. This has been, oh my lands, been close 15 years ago or better when he was here. So it had to be over 20 years ago. Just the inventory that he had in that store was worth over $100,000. Now what would a good businessman do? He'd go sell it, pass it on to somebody else. But you know what happened when that brother got saved? He burnt every bit of it. He destroyed it. $100,000 worth of inventory. He destroyed it. Why? Because the cares of this life didn't choke. The riches, the deceitfulness of the riches had no more allure, no more power to him. Why? Because he got rooted. He got grounded. And he wasn't ashamed to take that man of God and say, look, we're going to destroy all this. And they burn it. They burn every bit of it. None of it went on. None of it was passed on. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. You know what? When God saves you and God makes a change in you, it doesn't matter what the world has to offer. Amen. Amen. The things of Christ are more important. It's hard to stay when you're offended. Jesus knew they were offended because he told them to. He'd called them out because they were wanting to satisfy the flesh. And he was trying to minister to the spirit. Every body that he touched, every physical need that he met and he supplied had a much greater bearing and a much greater need. It was to test to his ability to take care of the spiritual needs of man. To show man and to demonstrate to man that he could trust him. He could depend upon him. His word has told us. His word has showed us Christ and him crucified. But so many get offended and they want to leave because they don't get to hear what they want to hear. They don't get to satisfy the flesh. It's hard to stay when you've missed the invitation. Amen. It's hard to stay. You ever get up and leave and you go somewhere and somebody said, well, why'd they leave? Well, they didn't know that they were welcome. They didn't know that they were invited. That's exactly what was going on here. They were missing the invitation. Everything that God does, every heart that God touches, every life that you see God manifest himself in and do something in is an invitation for someone else to come and receive what God has to offer. Amen? It's hard to stay when you miss the invitation. Some people are afraid to even show up because they've missed the invitation. The invitation goes out to whosoever. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad we got a God that says whosoever? Not so, if you do this and you do that. You know, I was just sharing in Sunday school this morning. How's that? Anybody see the documentary last night on public TV about Mr. Rogers? Was it Mr. Rogers? How many know who Mr. Rogers is? Used to be on public TV. All right, everybody knows Mr. Rogers. How many knows Mr. Rogers was an ordained Presbyterian minister? Amen. How many of you know that Presbyterians are hyper-Calvinist? They believe that you're only going to get saved if God wants you to be saved, and you won't know that you got saved until you die. Mrs. Rogers said that Mr. Rogers said as he was dying, do you think, he was a good man. Never have heard a bad thing about him. They could never find a bad thing about his life. He loved to help kids and to strengthen kids. That's what his program was all about. It was just reaching out to kids. He cared about kids. You can't find anything that they say bad about Mr. Rogers. But his wife said as he was dying, he said, do you think I'm one of the sheep? Do you think I'll be one of the sheep? Wouldn't that be an awful way to have to face eternity? Not knowing, not for sure whether you was going to be one that was going to get in or one that was going to be left out. After doing all these great things your whole life, do you think I'll be one of the sheep? A lot of people are missing the invitation. They're told that you can only be saved if you do this. They're told you can only be saved if God does that. Let me tell you what, God has already done everything that is necessary for anyone that wants to be saved to get saved. And he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not a maybe so, a hope so, a we'll see so. It's a no so. But millions upon millions are missing the invitation. Because they're relying on what man has taught them instead of what God's Word says. In verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." In verse 65, and he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." God deals with our hearts. He deals with our lives. And it's not the Father's will that any should perish. The Bible plainly teaches us that. And if it's his will that none should perish, why would he choose and pick and cherry pick who's going to get in and who don't? The Bible doesn't teach that whatsoever. The Bible teaches that we can all accept the gift of God. We can all be a partaker of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ when he died on Calvary. Some are missing the invitation, and it's hard to stick around when you don't know if you're one of the sheep. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And he said, "My sheep know my voice." Yes. Amen. Amen. And he said, "No man can pluck them out of my hand." I don't know about you, but I remember the day that the Lord spoke to my heart. Maybe you're here this morning and God's speaking to your heart. God is showing you. God is helping you. God is encouraging you. And you don't know what he's trying to tell you, but you know that he's speaking to you about something. Don't miss the invitation. Some come in, they can't wait to get out. The seed's been sown on stony ground. It has no root. If you have no desire for the things of God, and you think everything's all right, you better check your heart, check your salvation. What are you dependent on? I'm not telling you to doubt your salvation. Unless you've never had a salvation, according to God's word. But what I'm telling you is this. When God saves you, and God has spoken to you, and God has called you, and God has brought you to the place of repentance, and you know of the time, you know the place where you trusted him as your Savior, it makes a change that makes you desire the things of God. Amen. Amen. A tree that is producing fruit can only do so because it has root. Amen. A Christian that is going to flourish and grow and produce can only do so if it has root. We got a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but they have no root. That offends some people when you say that. People that can go through the motions. They've raised in church and they know how to do church. And they can do church with the best of them. But one day they realize they never were saved. They never got root. They never got what Jesus was offering. It's hard to stay when you're offended by his truth. It's hard to stay when you have missed his invitation. Oh, how many times has he spoke to your heart? How many times have you rejected him? Christian, let me ask you this. Revelations chapter 3 and verse 20, it's not written to the lost and the dying world. It's written to the church. It's written to the Christian. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will open, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me." How many times has God come by and knocked at your heart and gave you the invitation to sup with him and you were afraid to open the door and you left the house of God and you're offended because the preacher calls you out on it? It's hard to stay. But guess what? It's hard to leave. It's hard to leave when you really believe. Then Jesus said unto the 12, "Will you go away also?" Now look at this crowd. over 5,000 men were fed. That's not counting women and children. So you could say that that crowd could have been, they estimate anywhere, we know 5,000 men were fed. So if their wives and their families were with them, amen, you could easily double that number, maybe triple that number. So 5,000 to 15,000 people are following Jesus. Man, they got fed the day before. Now they tracked him down again, not because of the miracles that he was doing, not because of the truth that he was preaching, because they wanted their bellies filled. We see a lot of people come to church when they want something. One of these days, I'm going to have to get Ernie to play the Trunk Monkey commercial, because some of you older folks don't have you don't have computers, and you miss the analogy. But it's a great one. Has anybody ever seen the Trunk Monkey spoofs on YouTube? Their fake commercial. And they got a trunk monkey for everything, no matter what's happening. And you're getting a problem, you push the button, and the trunk monkey pops out, and he solves your problem, and he gets done. You tell him, get back in the trunk. That's the way a lot of us treat Jesus. That's the way a lot of people treat Jesus. They only have time for him when they're having problems, and they only want him to solve their problem. And hey, if the problem is solved, here last week they were broken and needed Jesus. And Jesus met their need, and now they're nowhere to be found. This big multitude that were following Jesus. They didn't want to hear the word. They didn't want to see the works that was being done. They wanted to satisfy the flesh. Like so many people, they only come to the house of God to satisfy. Bless me if you can, preacher. Satisfy me if you can, preacher. You can't satisfy me with that old preaching. You can't satisfy me with that work and with telling me about these miracles. So 5,000 to 15,000 people leave. Jesus said to the 12, will you go away also? You're gonna be like everybody else. And I guess that's the question this morning. The question each of us have to ask, are we going to be like everybody else? Are we going to be like the rest of the world? Or are we just going to take Jesus? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. It's hard to leave when you really believe. It's hard to leave when you really receive. Amen? It's hard to leave when God has done a work in you. It's hard to leave when Jesus is more to you than anything in this whole world. I like an old song that says, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Amen. I'll tell you what, that's what we need some more of in our church. Is let's get more of Jesus and less of the world. Let's get more of Jesus and less of everything else. Everything else has its place. And let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with being blessed of the Lord and experiencing the blessing. Look at Abraham. Abraham become a multimillionaire in our day and time, in our way of thinking, because of the blessings of God. But God still blesses men today. Man by the name of Letourneau. Anybody ever heard of him? He was the man that founded a big company I know you all heard of. Caterpillar. Now there's a different company called Letourneau. But Letourneau was a Christian. And God began to bless him in his business. You know what Letourneau decided? He said, God has blessed me so immensely. I'm going to give him the 90%. And I'm going to keep the 10%. And you know what God did with that 10% in Letourneau's life? Made him one of the most successful businesses on the face of the earth. His equipment is found on every continent. His equipment is found in every country. There's not a place on this earth where you can go that you can't find a piece of Caterpillar or a piece of Letourneau equipment. Why? Because he didn't go the way the rest of the world did. He went the way of Christ. He knew that Christ had everything he needed. Peter said, to whom shall we go? You got the words of life. No one ever cared for you like Jesus. No one can do for you like Jesus. And the only thing that he asks, and the only thing he desires, and the only thing he seeks from any one of us is not your money. He don't need your money. It's all his anyway. He can take it anytime he wants. He told the children of Israel, he said, you work for wages and put your money in bags and he said, I can blow on it and it'll disappear. He said, you work for wages and you put it in bags. And he said, I can put holes in the bags and it'll just disappear. You know, you put things in front of God, he has a way of dealing with that. But he doesn't want your money. It's all his anyway. He said, Psalm 50, he says, I didn't ask for your cows. I didn't ask for your bulls. He said, if I needed a bull, I wouldn't have to ask you for it. He said, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. The only thing he wants is your heart. The only thing he wanted from these folks was their heart. He didn't mind feeding them. He didn't mind meeting their physical needs. But what he wanted from them was to want from him what only he could impart spiritually. You know, you'll find out something in this life when you're satisfied spiritually. You find greater satisfaction in the temporal things. You find out that no matter what you have, it's never going to satisfy. You know how I know that? Because I got all kinds of stuff. Stuff don't satisfy. Stuff just means you have more stuff to take care of. More stuff to fix. I have tons of stuff. Ask Rick and Charles. I have tons of stuff and stuff never satisfies, but Jesus does. Stuff can never give me what Jesus can. Jesus can give you eternal life. I know that country and western song says, they say money don't make you happy, but it'll buy me a truck and it'll buy me a boat and it'll buy me a Yeti cooler and all this junk. That's all well and good. It can buy you all that stuff. But one day, it's going to disappear. One day you're going to die, and then whose will those things be? Who would that boat and that truck and your Yeti cooler belong to? One day you're going to die, and all that stuff is not going to matter. Just one life, 'twill soon be passed, and only that which is done for Christ will last. It's hard to leave when you believe. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, another Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, But my Father which is in heaven, if God has spoke to your heart this morning, if God has magnified Jesus in your heart this morning, if God has given you an invitation this morning, why don't you forsake the things of this world and be like that 12 and not like them 15,000 that chose to forsake God and make Jesus the ruler of your heart, the ruler of your life? If you're here and you're not saved, He wants to be your Savior. If He's your Savior, He wants to be your King. If He's not your King, then He's nothing. Because if you haven't made Him everything, haven't given Him reign over everything, He can be nothing. If He's not what's most important, He don't want to be what's second important. They lost sight of what was important, and they left Him. But those who seen Him for who He was, those who were assured of what He was going to do, could hang right there with Him and were willing to stay with Him and follow Him and go with Him. And those 12 would follow Him to the end of His ministry. One would forsake Him. 11 would go on. And eventually one would replace Judas. And those 12 set the world on fire. Why? Because they were willing to hang with Him. You know what you can do if you hang with Him? You can set the world on fire. Each one of you individually. As we stand this morning, heads bowed.